Hello, and welcome to Leading Into Tomorrow, a podcast series from EY exploring how public sector organisations can innovate to respond to future challenges and opportunities. I'm Ollie Jones, EY Parthenon's global leader for the government and public sector. Each episode, we're joined by expert guests for unique insight into how they've created strategies and are leading operational transformation. Our focus this time is on public transport. Joining us from Canada is Angela Gibson, Head of Strategy and Foresight at the Toronto Transit Commission. Hello, Angela.
Hello, Ollie. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And my EY colleague, Josh Cole, Senior Vice President, Cities, Transit and Infrastructure, also based in Toronto. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Ollie. Great to be here.
Angela, first of all, can you tell us all a little bit more about the work of the Toronto Transit Commission itself?
Oh, that's a really big question. So the Toronto Transit Commission, known as the TTC, is the third largest transit agency in North America. We serve a population in Toronto of about 2.7 million people, and we move everyone on buses, streetcars, subways. And I would say that one of the biggest challenges is really serving a really diverse population and ensuring that we move everyone to where they want to go.
Can you also just give us a sense of what your personal role entails as head of strategy and foresight?
So I'm responsible for three streams of work. The first piece is policy, customer policy, and ensuring that that whole customer experience lens is really fully baked into everything that we do. So that could be everything from fare policy, fare evasion policies, to accessibility. The next stream of work that I do is system planning. So we do a multi-year, five-year service plan, and we want to ensure that we're really thinking ahead about the different transit initiatives that we should be doing and how we are planning our service. So, and that could also include everything from AV shuttles and really looking at new innovations that we should be thinking about. And then there's the third stream, which we call emerging systems. And emerging systems looks at really doing the business cases to stand up things that we probably haven't even are not even ready for. So that could be modernizing our fare collection system. That could be looking at digital connectivity and what that looks like over the next 10 years. It also could be looking at eliminating and retiring our legacy fare media. So looking at business cases and ensuring that we're really positioned for the future and that we can move relatively quickly.
Perhaps I could ask you just to talk about the current situation, the current challenges, but also perhaps some of the opportunities facing the public transport network in Toronto.
The biggest challenge that we're facing is, you know, we've had 2 years of a pandemic that we've seen our ridership plummet. You know, we were having over 500 million riders a year on our system. On a weekday, average weekday, we're having 1.7 million riders on our system. And we've seen that plummet to, at the lowest case of COVID, to like less than 20%. Now we're back at around 60% of our pre-COVID ridership. Our biggest challenge is that we had a fare box recovery. That means that the amount of money that we were receiving from the fare box to stay afloat was about 62% before COVID. And now we're in a position where we're not seeing that number. So how do we sustain ourselves? And how do we make decisions around pivoting into this uncertain future of where we had it really great for so long? And I'll give you another picture about that 30% of the daily trips in Toronto were transit trips, which I know for even in North America, that's unheard of. That's such a huge level of transit ridership in our city. Our challenge is thinking, where do we go from here? How do we reposition transit? Do we change the way that we need to think about our priorities? Are we going to retreat and go back and look about how do we recover and how do we get back to what it was before? Or is there an opportunity for us to look at things differently?
What are you thinking of doing? Have you got as far as some actions in terms of how you will respond to this and what kind of measures you will put in place to try and boost ridership and get and win people back?
The majority of our customers are working in the downtown. So it means that there's only so much we can do to encourage people to get on the, on our system. But if they're not going to work in the downtown, then we're not going to be able to get them back. However, some of the other things that we've learned is that we've seen essential workers continue to use our system throughout the pandemic. We've seen people who are shift workers use the system throughout the pandemic. We've seen women and low income use our system. And we've also seen our bus network actually perform quite well over the last 2 years, having, in most cases, it's been about over 50% of ridership during that time. So it tells us that we probably should be to prioritizing on our bus network in our areas where it's underserved by rapid transit. We should be doing some things differently. So the work of my team, they've been working on an initiative that we've termed as Rapid TO. TO is for the Toronto. And we've been working on identifying bus routes that are really outperforming some rapid transit routes in other regions. And what can we do really quickly to make them a bus rapid transit system? And we did this at the end of 2020 in one key corridor, and we've seen substantive increase in system performance by doing that. And what we're trying to do is do that elsewhere in the city. So that's one area that we're doing. The other area that we're working on is that whole overall customer experience. How I think we can encourage people to come back is that they want to come back to a better TTC. I would like to them to feel romanced by the TTC if we could do that with transit. And so that could be everything from what can we do on the digital side of things to have people have the better amenities than they didn't have before. You know, it's obviously the things that we're doing on operations by, you know, making sure that our vehicles are clean so that people feel safe, and doing initiatives so that people can feel that they have better access to information.
Josh, you have the oversight of lots of work across Canada and indeed wider North America. So I thought I'd just ask you, you know, are other cities and other regions facing similar challenges? And what are some other cities doing in the face of those challenges?
Yeah, I think the TTC is certainly complex and has its challenges, and that Angela outlined, but public transit and transport across North America has had a real struggle over the last while for all the reasons that she stated. And so the focus now, of course, is on recovery and bringing those riders back. And I think a few things that are happening that give pause for hope, but also can maybe be replicated in other places. And one of the things we saw with transit systems in cities across the continent and really the globe was all of a sudden, new initiatives were able to be implemented at speeds we had never seen. And somehow we were able to cut through inertia and red tape and some of the bureaucratic challenges to see things like dedicated bus lanes and different fare structures implemented at speeds we'd never seen before. And on top of it, there was this huge explosion of the introduction of active transportation, including bikes and bike infrastructure, even improving the walking environment for people that wanted to connect to public transit that way or have an alternative that wasn't a personal vehicle. And so I think one of the lessons, hopefully, that will be learned and captured is how can we continue to introduce at that pace, introduce pilots that we can test, and it's okay to fail with some of those pilots. And then to also look at, you know, how do we make some of those temporary fixes permanent? And you're seeing that in Toronto, but you're seeing it in jurisdictions across the globe, really, where that improved bus network, that bike or walking connectivity that got you to public transit, that was done in a time of a pandemic, has been made permanent. And because of it, I think everyone's benefiting. And I think what it's also starting to do, which is a really important conversation that's happening, is that public transit cannot only be measured by how many riders use the system. I really think that, and you're hearing this conversation everywhere, that public transit is part of one of many tools in a toolbox that's helping cities become more sustainable, less congested, reach lots of different social policy goals. And so the way we fund transit and the way we kind of deem transit to be successful has to be looked at in a different way, shifted away just from that ridership metric. And I think that conversation's happening, and that's an encouraging one.
We have an equity lens that we've developed, which really then really emphasizes the neighborhood improvement areas, the areas where we're seeing people go into more blue collar work, so that we can give them more priority. And that equity lens, we're using it in different applications. We're using it for thinking about the design of our new trains and the design of our new buses. We're using it in sense of how do we prioritize where we put public Wi-Fi as we're testing this out on our buses. It's having that equity lens, which says we need to make sure that areas that are low income are really seen, and we can emphasize their needs.
We all recognize what kind of driver transit can be in terms of building communities. But I think what the TTC's done in the city of Toronto is begun to be more intentional about, you know, where those investments are made, where things are planned, so that that benefit of building community and of making spaces is enjoyed by more people than traditionally may have been if it was purely looked at just through kind of a transit planning or an engineer's point of view. And with that, it triggers some really important conversations about how you prioritize, which, you know, there's always scarce dollars. And so that's an important one to have. But the thing that's encouraging is that the conversation has shifted, I think, in a really positive way to recognize that the power of those investments, the power of having access, the power of public transit in terms of building up communities and connecting people and improving lives can happen in lots of places and parts of a city. And that prioritizing doesn't always have to be based on some of the old school metrics that often left those people and communities on the outside looking in.
We're going to move on now, and coming next, we'll talk more about how leading an organization through cultural change, and the public transport sector is certainly a sector that has sometimes needed cultural change. So we'll talk about that next. Now, most of us who have been in this space for a long time have seen that there's a lot of strong change, and Angela, you outlined this earlier, to a much more customer and community-centric focus.
30 years ago, strategy was just eliminated from the TTC. And so we were very much we still are a very operational organization, but there wasn't that foresight in what's happening next, right? So with the leadership, with Rick Leary, he decided a number of years ago to bring strategy back into our organization. And it's on two fronts. So I'm on the planning front with strategy and foresight, as I said. And there's also innovation and sustainability that is looking at on the, you know, the vehicle side of things, how we can innovate and really prepare ourselves for a net zero future. So really looking at ways that we can better tackle climate change and really be a key facilitator of change on that side. We're bringing business cases into the way that we justify our planning. The second thing is that multi-year planning is key, right? So then having the organization prepare itself for what's happening in the next number of years, I think is so necessary.
Josh, can I turn to you and just and ask you to comment on the picture that Angela's just painted around the need to kind of reinstate strategy and foresight and forward planning into transportation sort of operations and planning more generally? Is that a process you see being repeated around sort of North America?
It is, Ollie, and in some instances, unfortunately, it's not happening, and it needs to. And unsurprisingly, you know, transit's been dominated by engineers. I love engineers, don't get me wrong, but it's been dominated by people and thinking that looks at almost, instead of customers, it's almost like you're moving widgets along an assembly line, right? Not moving people and trying to get people to destinations and help improve their lives. And because of that, and it's really embedded in the industry, because of that, often your thinking and your approaches are not ones that would embrace innovation, would not foster leadership that is more innovative, and maybe looks at the world differently, or even the diversity in leadership and thinking that is so valuable that we know is so valuable. And so I think the industry's in this moment of change, and I think that, and you're seeing where organizations embrace new thinking, new leadership, some of that sensibility that risk is okay, that we expect you to innovate, and that you're actually serving people at the end of the day. Those are the leadership characteristics that result in better service, in better investment, in better use of scarce taxpayer dollars. And so that's this existential moment that many organizations in the space are having, but the industry as a whole is.
So Josh, when you said that, reminded me, like, one of the challenges that I put to my team is every time that we write a report, every presentation, every time that we're having a conversation, we should be playing customer bingo. And if customer is not said in a paragraph or at least five times in the paragraph so we can say bingo, then we're doing something wrong. We need to be more diverse. So as a Black woman in this sector, I need to bring that to the table. Like, I don't park that and leave that at home. I bring that so that I say, this is my experience on the system as a woman. This is my experience as a Black person on the system. That has to influence our policies, and that has to be able to build the change so that that we're building a better system for the people that we're serving.
And just to end with a final question for you, Angela, it's a difficult one. If you had one piece of advice for a leader in a position similar to yours, facing similar challenges, what would that one piece of advice be?
I think you have to connect with other people in your sector and not even outside your organization. The kind of the best support I've gotten is really reaching out to others who are in like building that collaborative bank of colleagues who you can actually can help you and check you, I think is key to that. We're in a sector that, you know, Toronto Transit Commission is not unique. Other agencies are going through the same thing. And I get inspired when I'm speaking to other colleagues in other agencies who are kind of like validating what I'm going through, and then they're giving me different ideas, and then I can bring that into the TTC and share those ideas. So I think that's probably the power of that peer relationship. I think is really, really key. The folks that work at the TTC are like top notch, and when you provide a platform to give them a voice to do their job, it's like you have a whole army of generals that are doing this work. And I think that also makes it really great to work in that kind of environment.
It's been great speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Josh, a big thanks to you for joining us too.
My pleasure, Ollie. Great to chat with you and Angela on both these important issues.
In this podcast series, you can hear from more expert guests talking about how they are leading transformation. So do subscribe so you won't miss an episode. From me, Ollie Jones, Angela Gibson and Josh Cole, thank you for listening, and goodbye.